The following program is sponsored by Evangelical Life Ministries.
Welcome to Engaging Truth, the manifestation of God's Word in the lives of people around us. Join us each week as we explore the impact of His message of spiritual renewal. From the lesson of forgiveness forged in the crucible of divorce, to the message of salvation learned by an executioner from a condemned killer, to the gift of freedom found in the rescue of victims of human trafficking. This is God's Truth in Action.
Welcome to Engaging Truth. This is Dave Schultz, your host for this particular program. I'm thankful for the guest that I have today, in particular because I don't know him. I didn't know him until a conversation of just a week ago. But the beautiful thing is that we know of another person that brought us together, and that was Greg Cook. So welcome, Paul. Paul Kaufman, a friend of not only Greg's, but now a friend of mine, but more than that, a friend of Jesus. Welcome, Paul.
Well, thanks for having me. And, Houston is a beautiful place. I'm up here in the Kansas City area. And, I know you got the Texans now, but when I played football for the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs, you had the Houston Oilers. And a lot of great players from that era, Dan Pastorini, Greg Bingham, Robert Brazil, Vernon Perry, Earl Campbell, obviously. They had a great team with Coach Bum Phillips down there.
Paul, tell us a little bit about your life, where you came from, who you are, and then we'll get into some of the thoughts that we've agreed to talk about today.
Yeah, well, I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and my dad was a German. And I think he married my mom so he could get U.S. citizenship. And shortly after I was born, he left and was basically raised by my grandma and grandpa until I was six, where my mom remarried a man, Robert Kaufman, in a small town in the middle of Kansas, Chase, Kansas, population 500 people. And Robert was a farmer and a school teacher. And I felt like I had the best combination of hard work and education. And he adopted me and he gave me his name. And I kind of liken it to the way Christ has adopted me. Basically, in God's kingdom, I'm an illegitimate son that really I don't deserve to be in his kingdom. But because of the penalty that he paid, that Christ gave his life for me and adopted me as a son, and had a great childhood. Hurt my elbows when I was in junior high and had it operated on. And my right arm only straightens this far, only bends this far. And the doctor told me I'd be fine as long as I didn't play football. And I was like, oh, doc, I got to play. Well, coming out of high school, I didn't get any scholarship offers except for some small junior colleges here in Kansas, and I walked on at Kansas State University. And at the time, Kansas State was probably one of the worst college football programs in the United States. We won one game my junior year and one game my senior year. But I grew up going to church, just a regular denominational church, but I'd never really heard about being born again. And I thought, once I heard that, statement, it's like, well, what is born again? And I wanted to get a scholarship. So I went to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Bible study at Kansas State, and they were talking about, John, the third chapter and the third verse, where it says, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, growing up in Chase, again, we went to church. All my Catholic buddies would go to Mass on game day, so I would tag along with them and sit through Mass because I wanted God to help me play a good game and protect me from getting injury. And God was kind of a big Santa Claus to me. It's like, if I was naughty or nice, if I did my thing, if I went to church, then he would reward me. So that's was kind of my view of God. But when I got to Kansas State, there were more beer, more girls, more football than I'd ever seen in my life. And it's like, I believed in God, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And the man leading the Bible study was a baseball player there at Kansas State. And talked about saying a prayer and, you know, confessing you were a sinner and that you needed Christ in your life. And so I said the prayer, but I really didn't mean it. I said it with my mouth, but I didn't mean it with my heart. The whole surrender thing didn't really connect with me. It's like, I wanted to do what I wanted to do, but I wanted God in my life to protect me from my stupid decisions and to help me reach my goals. So I said that prayer, but like I say, at that time, I really didn't mean it. But then at the end of my career at Kansas State, I had the good fortune, the blessing of getting a tryout with the Green Bay Packers. And I was a free agent, wasn't given much of a chance to make it. You know, here I had this arm that only straightened partway, and, you know, I wasn't very big. I was 6'3". I weighed about 215 pounds, which was small for a tight end. And so I went to the Bible study there, led by a man by the name of Steve Newman, who was with Athletes in Action. And, you know, again, I went to the Bible study. I went to the chapel services before the game just because I wanted God to help me play a good game. And, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And Mark 8:36 says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul?"
Exactly.
My second year, I became a starter. By my fifth year, I had made my first Pro Bowl. Made three Pro Bowls back when the Pro Bowl was a real game, not like it is now, a football game. You know, I went from making $24,000 my first year in the NFL. And, you know, back in those days, you know, nobody was making the millions or anything. But here I was, you know, making more money. I, you know, had a red convertible Porsche. I mean, you know, anything the world had to offer, I had access to. And at the time, I went back to Kansas State to get my degree and met my future wife, Amy. And after she graduated, she got a job in Wichita, and she had gone to a Bible study there and called me up one night in Green Bay and said, "Hey, what does it mean to be saved?" And, you know, at the time, I wasn't following the Lord. I knew scripture. I, you know, being the son of school teachers, I could memorize things, you know. And I said, "Well," I said, you got to commit your life to Christ." I said, in Romans 10:9-10, it says, "You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved." I said, "Go into your room and, you know, ask Christ to come into your life." And she did. Luckily, she didn't read the verse about being unequally yoked, and she married me anyway. And when we got back up to Green Bay, she encouraged me to go to the couple's Bible study. And again, the Word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. It's able to pierce the heart of a man and discern his thoughts and intentions. And sitting in that Bible study, the Word was piercing my heart. And, you know, I was convicted over my lifestyle and my attitude. And I got back to Kansas City in the off season, and it's kind of like Amazing Grace. You know, once I was blind, but now I see. My eyes were open to, you know what, if I want to be a good father, if I want to be a good husband, if I want to stay married to my wife, I need to accept Christ into my life. Something needs to change. And got back to Kansas City, and some of my friends that played for the Kansas City Chiefs were going to a church here in Kansas City that started going to, and one night went forward and surrendered and basically said, "God, not my will be done, but thy will be done." And the crazy thing is I get back up to Green Bay, played that following year, but then the year after they cut me, they let me go. And we got a new coach, and they were making a lot of changes. You know, my friend Greg Cook, he got traded. A bunch of the guys that I played with are new. I mean, they wanted the old regime out and the new regime. And so I was able to come back to Kansas City and play with the Chiefs and go to the church that I, you know, surrendered my life to the Lord in, and really get fed. And then finished up my career with the Minnesota Vikings in 1988. And now, you know, my wife and I, we live out in a small suburb of Kansas City called Peculiar, Missouri. And I think there's a scripture, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but God has called us to be a peculiar people. So we're in Peculiar, have four children. All of them played Division I college sports. And more than important than that, all four of them are walking with Christ. And we've just been so blessed.
Well, the peculiarness of Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. So that's where it's at. Go. Paul, you made a statement just a minute ago. The word came up, dads, fathers. Why is that important for you today?
I don't know where I would be without my stepfather, which I call him my father, without him adopting me. I you know, just my attitude, the way I approach things, the fire inside me, which, you know, obviously helped me in football. If I wouldn't have had a father's direction growing up and I was living in, you know, basically downtown St. Louis, no telling what direction I could have taken. But to have a father, Robert Kaufman, adopt me, give me his name, love me, discipline me, teach me, spend time with me, basically gave me a look into what my heavenly father was like. And, you know, helped me transition to committing my life to the Lord and submitting to him, just as I submitted to my worldly father. And then when I started having kids, and Malachi 4:6, you know, the last chapter of the Old Testament talks about the Spirit of the Lord will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers. Yes. And when I started having children, you know, I mean, obviously I had a wife, I had friends, I had commitments, I had a real job. You know, when we played professional football, we'd always joke about the real world. You know, all of a sudden I was in the real world. But the most important thing to me was spending time with my children, bringing them up, you know, in the fear and admonition of the Lord, you know, teaching them right and wrong, encouraging them in their dreams. You know, Proverbs, I think it's 2018 says the power of life and death are in the tongue. You know, to encourage them in their dreams, to encourage them in the ways of the Lord, to, you know, show them examples of doing what's right. You know, I was in a Bible study this morning with some men here, and, you know, we were studying Proverbs, you know, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, we've just been so blessed that, you know, I just see so many kids that grow up in a fatherless home, and some of them have a father in the home, but he's not really present. And, you know, I've actually, you know, Mike Barber, who, you know, played for the Houston Oilers, has a prison ministry down there. And I was able to go into prisons with Mike for a weekend. I got a friend up here in Kansas City that goes into prisons. And just the number of men in prison that didn't have a father.
Yes.
Didn't have a man that, you know, spoke words of life, said, son, I love you. Son, I'm proud of you. You know, son, what can I do to help you? You know, all they heard was, you'll never amount to anything. You know, I wish you were never born. You know, I mean, you just hear stories that break your heart of some of these men that didn't have an earthly father that took the time to speak words of life, to encourage them and to help them on their journey, not only with the Lord, but just in life in general.
Didn't you tell me, or heard someplace that your boys went into sports as well?
Correct. My oldest son, Chase, was a tight end for the University of Missouri and was drafted in the third round by the Bengals. And then he played for the Titans. He played for the Falcons. He played for the Seahawks. But he had an 8-year career in the NFL. My second son, Carson, was a quarterback at Kansas State. And then he went on and played arena football for 3 years. My daughter, Camille, at the University of Wyoming and played volleyball. And then my youngest son, Cameron, was a quarterback at Indiana and then ended up transferring to Wyoming. And so sports has been a big part of our life. And the Fellowship of Christian Athletes has been very instrumental in helping my kids. You know, they weren't the type of kids you could sit at the kitchen table and have a devotion. You know, usually, you know, somebody would grab somebody or kick somebody, and, you know, just to sit there and listen, you know, was hard. But if they could go to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp and, you know, rough each other up and play their sport and then sit down and listen to another college or pro athlete give their testimony and talk to them about the importance of following the Lord, it really spoke to their heart. So sports has been a big part of our life.
Paul, life has hills and valleys, and you've been through hills and valleys, not only medically, but I'm sure there are times when tears would come to your cheeks because of what had happened. But let's talk about blessings now. You're not a young man anymore, and I'm an old man. Paul, what are some of the blessings that you can say have come your way over these past years?
You know, the fact that I've been married to my wife, Amy, for 38 years. You know, we see in our society the breakdown of the family. And, you know, I've just been so blessed to have a wife, Amy, that, you know, I call her my little Holy Spirit. You know, she gets me back on track when, you know, I tend to stray. You know, sometimes I feel like the Apostle Paul, when he said, you know, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. But, you know, she directs me back to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, my favorite Bible verse is Proverbs 3:5. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, you know. That's and right. Then verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. And, you know, just been so blessed to have 4 kids that, you know, they weren't perfect. They made their mistakes. They did stupid things, you know, obviously not as stupid as some of the things I did, but just 4 kids that were able to, you know, play college sports. And, you know, now they're productive citizens in life. And, you know, just so blessed to have them healthy, and now, you know, some grandkids, and, you know, just some of the friends I have in my life. You know, you mentioned Greg Cook. You know, I mean, he's a guy that I can call up at any time, and, you know, it's like we just saw each other yesterday. And, you know, just to have guys that get you, you know, there's no agenda, nobody's going to get offended, you know. And one of the biggest things you miss after being in sports is the locker room. It's the guys. It's, you know, the joking around, the practical jokes, the fun at practice. You know, just having that band of brothers, you know, the iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And I just have some great friends from high school, from college, from my time at the pros, and even, you know, afterwards, you know, fathers of some of the young men that played with my kids through high school, that, you know, lifelong friends that I can call at any time. So, gosh, there's just been so many blessings. And I do realize, you know, some people will say, well, yeah, it's easier for you to follow God. You've been blessed. You have all these things. I haven't been so lucky. I got hurt in college. I never got to play in the pros. You know, my wife left me. My kids fight among, you know, I mean, I realize that. And, you know, I just say, you know, we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart and just keep praying, you know, keep trying to be an example. And, you know, I don't just take it for granted. I am so thankful, you know, that I've been blessed. And I just want to share God's goodness through all of this.
Paul, you talked about, I think very briefly, this whole issue of healing. There's a lot of our friends, including Greg, that is really, unless the Lord intervenes in some miraculous way with his Parkinson's, that's going to be a very difficult road for him to deal with. But talk about healing. What is it about healing that is important to you? And I'm sure that the greatest healing, of course, was coming to know your relationship with Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. But would you talk about healing just a bit?
Well, I think everybody at some form needs some kind of healing in their life, whether it's physical healing, you know, emotional healing, you know, just, you know, the trauma that, you know, and scripture tells us that in this world you will have troubles, you know, but our hope is that, you know, Christ has overcome the world. Our hope is in him. And ultimately we have to realize that this is not our home. You know, our home is a heavenly home. And ultimately we'll be walking the streets of gold with him. And, you know, our bodies, our infirmities, anything that we're going through will be healed. You know, if not in this life, then, you know, in the life to come. And, you know, there, in eternity, our, you know, the scripture tells us our life is but a mist. And I, you know, you have your faith, you know, you read the scriptures, you know, you have it in your mind, but in some, at some point it has to get to your heart. And about 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma. It was throat cancer, and it was stage 4. Doctor said it was, you know, he would damage too much if he would operate. He said, we're going to try to, we'll hit it with chemo, we'll shrink it, then we'll radiate it. He said, the radiation will burn your throat. He said, but, you know, you're relatively young, relatively healthy. You know, we're 90% sure we can get it. Well, you know, my wife and I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He can heal me of cancer. You know, so I basically got my Bible out. I started finding all the verses I could find on healing. I'd write them down. I'd wake up like at, you know, 2-3 in the morning, and I felt like God was telling me, are you willing to do whatever it takes? And coincidentally, that was kind of my motto when I was a walk-on in college and a free agent in the pros, was I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I need to lift more, if I need to run more, if I need to study my playbook more, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this team. So I would go down to my desk and I'd write down all these scriptures. You know, the plans you have for me are for good, not for evil. Give me a future and a hope. By your stripes, I am healed. You know, I mean, I would just pray these scriptures. You know, I'd say, God, it says right here, you know, right here in your word, you know, that by your stripes, that you bore those stripes on your body, that you paid the price, that you shed your blood. And so I took a couple rounds of chemo. I was supposed to take 4 rounds of chemo, and then we were going to do the radiation. Well, after 2 rounds of chemo, my tumor went clear away, and the doctor said, wow, this chemo's working a lot better than I thought. We're ready to do the radiation. I said, Doc, I said, I'm going to take a step of faith here. I'm not going to do the radiation. He goes, you got to. The oncologist, radiologist, ENT, all 3 said, you got to do the radiation. We have no documentation of just this chemo killing cancer. And then I asked him, I said, well, what would you do after I did the radiation to determine whether I still had cancer? Said, we'd do a PET scan. I said, let's do the PET scan now. So we did the PET scan. He goes, there's nothing here. There's nothing here to radiate. He goes, we've never seen just chemo kill this type of cancer. And I said, you know, Doc, it wasn't just chemo. It was the power of God. And again, I'm humbled by that because, you know, I'm as big a jerk as anybody. I make mistakes. I say stupid things. I don't always read my scripture or pray. But just by the grace of God, I was healed of cancer, and I've been free, cancer-free for over 12 years now.
Paul, thank you. We're at the end of 24 minutes, so I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. This was a beautiful opportunity to hear about the wonderful grace of God and the wonderful things that Christ has done for you. Thank you, listening audience, and come back next Sunday night again to hear Engaging Truth. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of Engaging Truth. Be sure to join us each week at this time. To help support our ministry, contact Evangelical Life Ministries, Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410, or visit our website at elmhouston.org, or find us on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. Thank you.